Wow, that was like a hot toddy of strong coffee.
Yeah, that's some heavy metal from the 1970s.
I like heavy metal.
And it's by Jet, who actually, no, it's from the 2006s, and that's called Put Your Money Where You...
They haven't given us the full title on
What's
our piece of paper. Where You... dot, dot, dot. Marcia, you know about music.
Where Your Mouth Is.
Oh, where I thought it was Put Your Money Where You Go To The Lavvy, which would have just been
that's
weird.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Or put your money
disgusting.
Where you keep... Am I disgusting?
You're disgusting.
Do I revolt you?
No.
Okay. Hi, this is Adam and Joe. Welcome to 1 hour, 50 minutes of great music, great chat, and great sex here on XFM. This is our penultimate show.
Right.
We are going to take a break after next week's show for a while because, you know, we've got a lot on. What have you got on, Joe?
Just jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Get ready for more of the same for the next 1 hour, 50 minutes of madness. before Jet, you heard, incidentally, the Arctic Monkeys, as if you needed to be told.
David Cameron's favourite band.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Since when?
He's going to be the Prime Minister. It's been decided already.
Has it?
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather have him than...
I like Sir Ming Campbell.
Ming.
I was watching the Liberal Democrat conference.
Ming the Merciful.
I like Ming Campbell. You know the difference between Ming Campbell and David Cameron and Tony Blair? Ming Campbell's old.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chance he might actually know something.
He's learned some lessons.
And have had some experience. Mm. Yeah.
He's stuffed, though, isn't he, Ming?
Because he doesn't know who the Arctic Monkeys are.
He's out of the picture.
Isn't it funny how the Arctic Monkeys have just become a touchstone for being in touch with the youth?
Yeah, for old
All you have to do is just say their name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's sort of enough, isn't it?
Well,
is it? Marcia's looking at me like I'm mad.
Marcia's in touch with the kids.
Marcia's a professional DJ.
Yeah. She's heard more music.
She doesn't want to abandon the studio.
She's heard more music than just the Arctic Monkeys in the last 6 months. As you too will, listeners. Do you know, that wasn't a very good sentence. But
yeah.
Anyway, we've got a competition coming up very shortly, and it's a sort of a one-off competition.
Uh-oh.
It's Shane McGowan-based.
Good.
So if you think that you can translate the words of Shane McGowan into English, then stay tuned because you could win a prize.
If you can speak McGowan.
If you can speak McGowan. We'll be teaching you how to speak McGowan later on.
We've got copies of Inside Little Britain to give away. It's a book about Matt Lucas and Dave Williams, written by Matt Lucas and Dave Williams.
And Boyd
and
Hilton.
Boyd Hilton.
Editor of Heat magazine.
So we might be reading some excerpts from that.
Jacket photos by Sam Taylor Wood.
Wow.
This is like the hippest book. This is a slice of someone's hip. Right here. It's a big zeitgeist brick. Yeah. And we've got loads to give away here on the show. So stay tuned. Great music right now from the Raconteurs. That's the Raconteurs with Broken Boy Soldiers. It's Adam and Joe here on XFM. Joe, have you gone out and bought the re-released Star Wars films on DVD?
No, I refuse to. That's a good question. I refuse to.
Yeah, why?
Because they're really bad quality, apparently.
No.
Yeah. First of all, they're very bad quality.
Yeah.
They're not properly letterboxed. They haven't been properly transferred or restored.
Really?
They're just in 2.0. Old school stereo.
Yeah.
He hasn't bothered. Basically, it's his plan to rip off Star Wars fans sort of as much as he can.
How could Lucas sanction such a thing?
Because he's a big, jubbly-chinned loser.
No, he can't be. He's still got the beating heart of a genius.
Do you
surely.
Think? Do you
Somewhere
think?
Deep inside his
Do you think?
Jabba-like husk.
It's true, isn't it? But I don't know, he's been taken over by greed.
That's weird, isn't it? Why
it
would he
weird.
Do that? How many other things can they possibly release, Star Wars related?
They're going to release all three films in 3D.
No.
No, all six films in 3D.
Are you joking now?
No, I'm not joking. That's happening next year. They're going to release, like, a 10-disc remastered... like complete set of all the films.
Yeah.
Because they're still deleted scenes.
Oh no.
Yeah, there's that scene with Luke and some you know, I forget his name. There's a famous deleted scene.
Conrad.
With Luke. That's right, Conrad. No, Phil. I think he's just called Phil. With Luke and Phil at the gas station talking about Rolos.
Getting the munchies.
Yeah, getting the munchies. Oh man, I gotta have some Rolos, I gotta smoke another tree. I gotta bill up.
You've got a what?
It's just street talk, Adam. You wouldn't understand.
I don't understand what.
It's good street talk that if you don't understand it, you won't be offended by it. But so if you do, you'll be excited.
That's a deleted scene to look forward to.
Yeah, so basically he's going to... And this week he released the Star Wars video game, Lego Star Wars video game.
Well, at least that is like a worthwhile spin on the whole
Apparently
thing.
So. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. But honestly, George, if you're listening, because I know he likes the show... What are you playing at, you ludicrous ponce?
How wooed.
How wooed.
How wooed.
Well, now you've cheered me up by doing a Jar Jar impression. Because I love Jar Jar. Competition time very shortly. If
Miss
you think...
a competition.
Miss a competition. Me like a competition. Can you speak a Shane McGowan? That's not so good, is it? That's just...
Shane McGowan could be a Star Wars character, though.
He could.
Hmm? It's just the beginning of a Yoda noise.
Where's the pub? Where's the pub?
You didn't say it backwards.
Pub, where is that?
There you go. Bang.
Shortly, it's competition time. If you believe that you can speak McGowan, if you can translate the words of the genius Irish boozer and poet and
but
singer.
What about giving the telephone number in advance?
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, 0871 222 1049. That's 0871 222 1049.
But first, here's the first of our free plays. This is Devo with Gut Feeling. This is Adam and John, XFM. That's Devo with Gut Feeling, stroke, slap your mammy. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, and it's...
Competition time. You could win a DVD or tickets to a show. You just never know. So sharpen up your brain and get ready to play.
Now, this is a kind of one-off competition this week, because I was watching BBC 4 last weekend, and they had a brilliant series of programmes about the record label Stiff, you know, who, of course... responsible for putting out all Madness's records.
The
as
show
well
was
as
called If It Ain't Stiff.
It Ain't Worth a F Star Star K was the full title. And it was a good show. And then they had a brilliant roundup of Stiff acts playing Top of the Pops, people like Ian Dury and Kirsty MacColl and Madness and of course the Pogues. And they had an interview with Shane McGowan as part of the documentary, where Shane was talking about how the title of the album Rum, Sodomy and the Lash came about, which was their sort of most successful album, I suppose, on Stiff. And he, as usual, was being interviewed in a pub, and he seemed pretty chipper. Like, sometimes Shane McGowan is interviewed on things, and he's barely alive, you know?
Yeah, there was a documentary on him, was it about 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
Where he looked as if he might be so ill he might pop his clogs.
That's right.
But he seems to have sort of recovered.
He seems a lot...
He's got a lot better, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe he's switched to...
Maybe the Magoon.
Lemon Hooch.
Maybe.
Or something a bit more peppy. What did you say?
I don't know.
Switch to... The Magoon. Anyway, it occurred to me like... it was almost impossible to understand what Shane was saying in this little bit of interview that I'm going to play you in a second. But he wasn't subtitled. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it seems like, well, obviously, why would he be subtitled? He's Shane McGowan. He's still...
He's speaking English.
Yeah.
Like in England.
His brain is absolutely fine. What he's saying is perfectly fine. It's just the actual way that he's is very hard to understand. And you know, like, for example, when they have someone who's got a proper speech impediment or is disabled in some way, do you know, in a way that affects their speech, in however mild a way, they subtitle them sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Even if you can perfectly well understand what the person is saying, they just think, oh, well, we better subtitle them, you know, because they're slurring or whatever. But no,
yeah, subtitles. Booze doesn't count.
No, booze doesn't count. You get away without subtitles. Because, you know, if you start subtitling boozers, everyone's going to feel a bit paranoid when they go out on a Friday night and they suddenly need subtitles.
It's true.
Anyway, that's by the by. Listeners, what I want you to do is translate this snatch of McGowan for me, okay? Now, it's quite long, but...
So do people have to write it down, transcribe it?
I would think so, yeah. I'll play it a couple of times throughout the show.
Well,
right?
How long is it? 10 minutes?
It's about 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay, this is going to last 40 minutes.
It'll last 40 minutes.
And people have to transcribe...
Yeah.
For 40 minutes.
Every word of what Shane said.
This is a good competition for stenographers. Is that the right word?
Stenographers, yeah, from courts.
Yeah.
Who bash away.
Who managed to type on a typewriter with 3 keys.
Yeah, everything they need to know.
How that works.
I don't understand either. No idea. It's a total mystery. If there's any stenographers listening, just give us a call and explain what the heck you think you're doing. No, but just the basic gist and some key little parts of this is all I really need. Like, you just ring me up and talk me through what Shane
the
is saying.
The thrust.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, here's how we'll do it.
Right.
If you think you can translate it, we'll get you on the line and then we'll play the clip and you can translate as Shane is speaking, all right? That's how we'll do it. But this is the clip I want you to translate. Here's Shane McGowan.
Andy from the group, sort of the title, yeah? Which is a quote from Churchill, yeah? All the Navy leaders run sort of in the last, yeah? pretty typical Winston Churchill sort of thinking, you know, yeah? But just take it out of context, run steadily in the last, you just sounded great anyway, you know what I mean? And then be able to touch the press saying, why'd you call it run steadily in the last? And go, well, that's the same by Sir Winston Churchill, you know. Banner British name.
Apart from the fact that that's
what's
the best.
What's that noise?
That's the best laugh ever.
That's a laugh. I thought he was having liposuction or something. Live.
Well, of course, you know what it reminds you of. Right, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what
Muttley.
Are you snickering, floppy-eared hound? When courage is needed, you're never around. Those medals you wear on your moth-eaten chest should be there for bungling at which you are best. So, stop the pigeon, stop the pigeon, stop the pigeon.
There you go, that's what it's like.
Is that real Muttley, or have you just put McGowan in there?
No, that's McGowan. That's McGowan giggling.
That's extraordinary. So, you know, that is quite, I mean, we're wearing headphones in this studio, so that was actually, I found that quite easy to
Did
understand.
Did you understand all of what he was saying?
I'm just saying that because I think people are going to need to get it maybe verbatim.
Right.
For it to be a genuine challenge. Having said that, if you're in your car or you're in your house and there's background noise, it might have been a bit harder.
Well, if you think you can translate that, I'll play it one more time in just a second. If you think you can translate that, then get on the phone and I'll play it again and you can translate as you're going along. I mean, it's easy to understand most of it, right? There's a couple of little bits there that I had to play about six times before I could understand what he was on about. Here he is once again.
Andy from the group, sort of the title, yeah? Which is a quote from Churchill, yeah? All the Navy leaders run sort of in the last, yeah? pretty typical Winston Churchill sort of thinking, you know, yeah? But just take it out of context, run sort of in the last, you just sounded great anyway, you know what I mean? And then be able to touch the press saying, why'd you call it run sort of in the last? And go, well, that's the same by Sir Winston Churchill, you know? Banner British name.
There you go. All right, then, get calling now. The number is 0871-222-1049. We'll be back after these ads and some music. XFM.
That's Razorlight Within the Morning, the first single from the London Quartet's self-titled album. That's kind of old news, isn't it?
Razorlight, it's just out, that album.
No, not the... Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a new one.
I think so, isn't it?
I don't know.
First... Oh, no, sorry, that is old news. You're quite right. That's their first album.
We're in the midst of a competition, listeners. It's a kind of one-off competition.
No, it was their self-titled second album.
Man, you know...
Sorry.
We've made a mess of it. Let's not try and recover it.
We don't even, to be
honest with you, we don't know who Razorlight are.
No, Razor what?
Oh, Razor... Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah. I know all about that. MySpace. They had a thing on MySpace.
Did they?
They went to number one. It was the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, we've got Jack on the line. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good. Hi, Jack. I just like saying hi, Jack.
Sorry about that, Jack. Jack, you sound very close. Do you live in central London?
Not in central, in East London.
Oh, that's nice.
This is just a nice phone line. Are you talking on a gold phone?
It's a bit silver.
Ooh, a silver phone.
Are you a robot plugged directly into the mains?
Yes, vidi.
Hey,
that's a good response.
What robot was that? Buck Rogers's robot.
That was Tweaky.
That was Tweaky.
Yeah.
Is that the noise that Tweaky makes?
Yeah.
Buck.
He was a dreadful little robot.
I loved him.
No, you didn't.
I still watch it.
Why do you like Tweaky?
I don't know. I was just young. I liked him. He was great. I liked that woman as well.
I loved
her.
She's
sexy.
Erin Gray. She was extraordinary.
They should bring back those skin tight lycra suits.
They should bring back those women. What? Jack, sorry about that. So listen, you think you can understand what Shane is saying, do you?
Roughly.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy, of course. He's not completely unintelligible.
What are we going to do? Stop it, play through it and stop and start?
Well, let's have a go. See if you can translate as you go along.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready for this, Jack?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Andy from the group.
And people asked me from the group where I got the title of the album.
Yeah. Oh, the Navy Day is round suddenly.
It's round about. Oh, I got it.
What's he saying there?
I don't know. People asked me where I got the name of the title of the album.
Jack, a little shaky at this point.
A little shaky.
I'm sure.
A couple of mistakes there.
He's got it right going.
Okay, let's see how you do with this section. Correct.
pretty typical Winston Churchill
Typical of Winston Churchill there.
Yeah, that's good.
Typical Churchill.
But just take it out of context, Rum Suddenly in the Ash, it just sounded great anyway. Yeah?
Look out the thing there, which is the title, which is Rum Sodom and Lash, which is pretty typical or something.
You're skidding around.
Doesn't he say take out the something?
Take out the Rum Sodom and Lash.
Jack.
It all started really well with you, Jack, and now it's just a nightmare.
And then be able to touch the press saying, why did you call it Rum Sodom and Lash? And go, that's insane. Why Sir Winston Churchill? You know?
Why did you call it Rum Sodom and Lash? That's pretty insane. And then I said, it's come from Winston Churchill.
I think he's just finished his Coca-Cola.
You reckon?
And yeah, he's just sucking the last bit out of the glass with a straw. That's what's happening there.
So you think this is the sound of Shane drinking the dregs of his Coke?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just got an incredibly powerful suction capabilities.
Listen, Jack, you got the gist of it, of course.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it's good enough.
It's not quite.
No disrespect, Jack, but the bits, you got the easy bits.
The thing is,
the difficult bits are like the extra words.
You proved my point that it's not possible to understand the whole of what Shane is saying.
Yeah, I wrote it all down and I thought I had it, and then I realised that I just wasn't even close.
Listen, man, we appreciate your call anyway, and you did very well. Would you like a copy of the Little Britain book?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Apparently it's the greatest comedy series of the 21st century.
Little Britain.
They've been into the future, and they've discovered that there's going to be nothing better for 96 years.
I don't believe them. I've been... You guys always go on about the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
I'd love it if you could send me a copy. Oh, you probably...
Well, the Mighty Boosh. It's
just
not
picking
Woolies.
Your prizes.
We're not like a branch of Woolies.
Can I have one of those? And also, can I have one of them Frisbees and
I'm a big fan of cars. Could you send me an Audi TT like they're used in that video?
Also, could I please have £25? Unfortunately, we don't have any Mighty Boosh. Much as we'd love to only give away Mighty Boosh merchandise because they are fantastic, we don't have any, but man, Little Britain's not a bad substitute.
Yeah, this book's an incredible artifact.
Yeah.
In about 20 years, it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll sell it on eBay, don't worry.
Okay, listen, Jack, we'll send that to you, and we'll get someone else on the line before midday to see if they can completely translate what Shane McGowan is saying. But before that, here's some adverts and some more music. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. That's The Muse with Starlight. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM. Now we have Ben on the line, who believes that he can translate the words of Shane McGowan.
He's got a special advantage, though, hasn't he, Ben?
Yeah, because I think he produced the programme. Did you not, Ben?
That's right. Yeah, I did.
Did you produce it or direct it? Because in your text,
said
you did. You did both?
Yes.
Wow. Produced and directed by Ben. What's your surname, Ben?
It's Worley.
Ben Worley.
Hey, Worley.
And Ben, so are you a massive fan of the Pogues?
I love McGowan. Shane. Shane is a living legend, and contrary to...
A barely living legend.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Contrary to popular belief, what?
He's still alive.
Yes. And did you know him before you made this documentary, or was making the documentary your introduction to him?
I'd met him a couple of times in a boozer in North London before.
What, just like as a punter, like coincidentally, you'd gone up to him?
Well, basically.
You're not involved with Stiff or anything?
No, vested interest.
No.
But he seemed, I mean, you know, what he was actually saying was completely fine. He's totally compos mentis, isn't he?
He is. He's a really, really, well, I think he's a genius, basically.
Yeah.
He was reading a book on Sanskrit on the day.
Mm, right.
You know, expect.
He went to the same school as us.
That's right.
Quite a posh school.
He was booted out.
He was thrown out, though.
He was a contemporary of Thomas Dolby. at this school. And Thomas Dolby and Shane McGowan used to hang around for a while until their musical proclivities diverged. And McGowan went off to chew people's ears off in the 100 Club, and Thomas Dolby went to become the king of synth pop.
But Ben, did you, in terms of understanding McGowanese, did you find it difficult at first and then, you know, gradually gain an understanding of the nuances of his speech?
Well, I think that bit of a interview you've played, I must have listened to it 1,000 times before it kind of it kind of hit me what the general gist of it actually was.
Okay, so listen, translate as we go along. I'll play little chunks and you can tell us exactly what he's saying. Here we go.
Andy from the group, sort of the title, yeah?
Andy from the group, sort of the title, yeah?
Ah, correct.
Which is a quote from Churchill, yeah? All the Navy needs round Sunday and Lash.
Which is a quote from Churchill, all the Navy needs is rum, sodomy, and the lash. Yeah.
Ha
ha ha ha ha.
You know, pretty typical Winston Churchill sort of thinking, you know.
Pretty typical Winston Churchill thinking.
But just take it out of context, rum, sodomy, and the lash.
This is the tricky bit.
Anyway, you know what I mean?
But take it out of context, rum, sodomy, and the lash. I think I'll have to hear it again.
Taken out of context. That's the key bit. Yeah. I had to listen to that. I was like, well, is he swearing or what's he saying there?
And then be able to touch the press saying, why did you call it rum, sodomy, and the lash? And go, well, that's a saying by Sir Winston Churchill, you know.
Something about the press, and then. why do you call it rum, sodomy, and the lash? Well, it's a saying by Winston Churchill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Band of British names.
So there you go.
About the British Navy.
British Navy, exactly. Why do you call it the press? Being able to tell the press, he's talking about how nice it was to be able to tell the press, why'd you call it rum, sodomy, and the lash, say the press? Well, that's a saying by Sir Winston Churchill about the British Navy, said Shane. So there you go. Hey, listen, Ben, thank you very much for calling in.
One last question, Ben. Was there any kind of subtitle debate?
There was, really, but, you know, we thought we'd be doing Shane down a bit, really.
A disservice.
He deserves to be in audio only.
Yeah, you know what? People should learn McGowan. People should,
McGowan should meet.
Come to him rather than him come to us with
But listen,
subtitles.
Ben, congratulations on the show. I thought it was fantastic. And I'm sure it'll be repeated again on BBC4, won't it?
Yeah, it's out Friday in one 90-minute slot, Friday the 29th.
Friday the 29th of this month?
Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah.
I bet it'll come to Terrestrial as well. They'll probably show it on too.
Yeah, and on BBC2.
It was really good, beautifully made, and really reminded me what an amazing label Stiff Were. Just so many fantastic hits, and of course Madness. You know, that's the
All it lacked was a voiceover by us for a lot of money.
Really, I thought it needed.
I mean, we're expensive, but we are
good. Exactly.
We're very expensive.
You priced yourself out. I called your agent. And I came back with my fingers burned.
Well, there you go.
Ben, thanks a lot for calling in.
No worries.
Take care. Have a good weekend. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, and here is Shane McGowan with The Pogues. This is Sally McLennan. There we go. That was the Bedouin Sound Clash with When the Night Feels My... Song. See, what happens is we get these little sheets that tell us what music we're playing from XFM, but sometimes the titles get cut off, you know, because there's not enough room on the piece of paper. So you have to guess the end. But then it's written in smaller letters underneath. That's an interesting little insight into what it's like DJing at XFM for you. This is Adam and Joe here. And before Bedouin Sound Clash, you heard, of course, the Guillemots. Some people say Guillemot. I say Guillemots just to avoid.
I say Guillemot, yes.
Guillemot. And that's Trains to Brazil. Guillemots, yeah. It says underneath, pronounced Guillemots. So there you go, that's the end of it, all right? Now, we were just chatting, just having a little bit of a chat, just talking, what's that big problem? About people watching TV, like at home, you know, with their girlfriends, boyfriends, spouses, partners, whatever you want, and just some of the things that become irritating to you when you're, like, watching TV.
Yeah, we're talking about TV tyranny, listeners, in the nicest possible way. Do you cohabit with someone? And if you do cohabit with somebody, do they kind of apply a tyranny to your TV schedule? I'm talking about a gentle tyranny, because this happens with my beautiful, lovely girlfriend who's the most beautiful person in the world.
I can vouch for that.
But she's so emotionally lovely and sensitive that, and it's not like she bosses me, no, about what we watch on the telly, but she just whimpers and kind of sighs and leaves if I'm watching any of the following. Anything exploitative,
yeah,
like anything to do with an audition process where you're laughing at someone.
Right.
So basically every programme on
yeah,
television.
All TV.
All TV. She sighs and leaves the room if I'm watching anything to do with horror or death or killing or frighteningness or suspense,
yeah,
which is all films I like. She sighs and looks sad if it's anything to do with war or suffering or starvation or political conflict, anything like that.
Really, even if it's like a documentary or something?
Yeah, well, that's maybe not necessarily true, but you know, she's very sensitive and knowledgeable about what's happening in the world.
Mm.
So, and you know, I'm just a cynical old idiot sitting on my sofa, like inured to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really care if it does. I'm a NIMBY.
A NIMBY, what's that? Not in
not
my backyard.
In my backyard. That's, do you know, right, what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can have a distance from whatever's happening in the world, but she's more informed and cares more.
But the upshot of
this wonderfulness is that there's very little
can you hear
we
this,
can watch on
can
telly.
You hear the sound of a man frantically tiptoeing around impending.
But it's true,
argument.
I'm being honest.
Damnation.
Because she's so, and this is, it's quite an important point to make, Adam.
Yes.
That this is not the tyranny of kind of anger and suppression.
Not the tyranny of evil men, as Sam Jackson might quote.
No, it's the tyranny of just, you know, it's a gentle tyranny.
Yeah.
A sweet tyranny. A good tyranny. So we want to know whether...
A sexy tyranny.
We want to know whether your partner or cohabitee applies a similar tyranny to you.
I'm not allowed, in my house, I'm not allowed to watch things like funny cartoons that appeal to adults as well as children. Do you know what I mean?
You mean like The Simpsons and Family Guy?
Simpsons, Family Guy, anything with like a kind of weird, self-referential, postmodern, cynical flourish going on.
Why not?
I think because it's not, because it's in danger of engaging the brain in some way.
What?
Do you know what I mean? And in our house, TV is used purely as a relaxative.
Right.
Okay, can I call it that?
Yeah.
And it's like as soon as it does change when you have children. When the children are in bed, you feel like you're into the reward section of the day, you know? And you don't really want to have your brain engaged in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
By the telly box. I can't believe I said telly box. By the television. And it's nicer just to have things that wash over you. So we watch a lot of stuff like, you know, 24 and Lost and all that kind of enjoyable garbage. But stuff like, if you want to watch any kind of cutting-edge comedy, yeah, that's not on. I have to go into my
nutty
box. I
tell you the problem, there's too much telly, there's too much choice, isn't there? I think this is a contemporary phenomenon. Now there's so many channels, you really can watch exactly what you want. And I don't think... there's probably very few couples who like the same things. Because my girlfriend just watches golf. And gardening programs all the time.
That's tough,
all
man.
All the time.
Jeez Louise, if my wife suddenly started getting into snooker or something...
Ah, it's a nightmare.
I'd have to... luckily, I've got my own nutty room and I can go off and watch what I want.
Yeah, but this is my 32-inch plasma. With surround sound.
This is starting to sound like one of those programs... like Grumpy Old Man.
The Man Show.
The Man Show.
Yeah, just a stupid gender-biased show. Anyway, if you've got any similar conflicts or any ideas of how to cure them, text us in, 83XFM.
I might write a book about it. I might call it Women Are From Venus, Men Are From Mars.
That's good.
Mm?
That's a really good idea. Mm. That's brilliant.
I'll start now.
Do it. Here's
Once
a free play for you right
time.
Now. This is De La Cota with a track called The Rock. De La Cota with The Rock. This is Adam and John XFM. It's advert time now. Joe, I'm going to tease a couple of the ads for you.
That's exciting.
What have we got here?
Because I've got quite a lot of disposable income this week.
Yeah. Foster's. Yeah.
Foster's, great. It's important to keep Foster's cool. You keep it cool in the shade of a woman's breasts. If you're a tarantula, you might even wear mittens because the beer is so cold. I think that's what's going on bus stops around the country this weekend.
Shopping Shopping Original, it says.
Shopping Original.
Yeah.
That's just a campaign designed by all the shops have got together. They want people to buy more original things. They're fed up of, you know, swiping the same products through the barcode reader.
Yeah, so like...
Come on, shoppers, be more original.
Be more original. Buy, why don't you buy a hedgehog in a tiny bus? What's wrong with that? Why don't you buy that? Why don't you buy, like, a brick that you can eat made of brick?
Yeah, because no one sells them.
Well, that would be original.
Yeah. Shopping. What other ads?
It just says stick revised.
Yeah, they've revised the stick.
Are they selling sticks?
Yeah, they've withdrawn all sticks. Have you not noticed there have been no sticks around this
week?
They've
got new sticks.
Yeah, they've revised them. They've got MP3 players in them now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize.
All sticks, all twigs can now store up to 1,000 songs.
No.
Yeah, and
my stick
have a battery life of 4 hours.
Wood and bark on the outside still.
Yeah. Well.
That's disastrous. And then at the end it says, drummer live.
Yeah, that's the drummer. He's going to be playing live this week.
And you can buy
him. Drummy the Drummer is playing live at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Oh, that's exciting. So listen out for all that in these adverts, ladies and gentlemen. XFM. That's the Foo Fighters with DOA. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM on what I consider to be one of those beautiful afternoons I can remember, Joe, weather-wise.
It is beautiful. It's been lovely, hasn't it?
It's my favourite colour. It's crisp.
Yeah, and don't anybody worry about global warming, listeners, because on a day like that, these days, in this modern day, as soon as the sun comes out, people start bleating about global warming. And when I say, I sound like Nick Ferrari when I use the word bleating.
Yeah.
Like bleeding hot liberals.
Right.
But I agree, obviously, global warming's real. But my mum says that it's always sunny in September. And she said when she was a girl, they always used to take their holidays in September because it was always so nice.
It is nice. I remember when I was at university, well, one term when I went to university, I went to university. And
wow,
it was really nice and sunny. And you sort of think, oh, yeah, the summer's not over. This is bonus summer. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. I think everybody in the country is going to have a wicked day.
That's pretty bold, man.
Oh, I think it's true.
It is going to be wicked.
Yeah, but in either sense of the word, it might be just evil.
Evil.
Yeah.
Speaking of evil, yesterday I fell for a scam from a beggar.
Right.
Now, you know, like, I don't know about your attitude to beggars. There was a funny scene in Extras.
Hang on, beggar might not be the right
beggars. Word. People who beg for money. Simple as that.
Right.
What other? Is there a more PC word of saying beggar?
What's the more PC word, Xanthi?
No, it's nothing to do with being homeless. It's someone who begs for money. That's a different thing. I'm not talking about all homeless people.
Housily disadvantaged?
No, it's nothing to do with them being housely disadvantaged. I'm not talking about people who are homeless.
What about
monetarily?
I can't think of the next bit.
Monetarily
disadvantaged.
Sub-changed.
Sub-changed. That's nice.
Anyway. I just fall... basically, if someone asks me for money on the street, I'll generally give it to them.
What was his line? What did he...
It was a lady, and this was, like, round the corner from my house. And I was listening to my MP3 player. And with headphones. And this lady pulled up on a bike, right? Totally normal, nice-looking young woman. And sort of was flagging me down, trying to get my attention. Take my headphones out. She's like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I'm wondering if you can help me out. I've been so daft. I just moved into the flats over the way there. Number 53. Do you know those flats over there? I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, anyway, listen, I've locked myself out. I'm waiting for my boyfriend to come back, but I need to feed the meter out there. And I just need a pound. And I haven't got any change on me or anything. I just feel so stupid asking. And went through this whole thing, right? Totally credible thing. And I didn't really listen to the logistics of what she was saying. Like, I didn't add it up in my mind. You've locked yourself out, but your boyfriend's coming back. You need to what? I just sort of said, yeah, you know. And I reached in my pocket and I had like a 50p, a couple of 20s and a 10. I said, sorry, that's not a quid, but is that going to do the job? She's like, yeah, great, thanks a lot. Oh, and my name's Emily, by the way. What's your name? I was like, oh, I'm Adam. She's like, yeah, whereabouts do you live, Adam? I was like, yeah, just over there, over there, yellow door. And, she's like, oh, right, great. Okay, listen, well, thank you so much, Adam. I'll drop this round about 7. Are you going to be in? Great, I'll drop it round then. Thank you. Sorry to ask. Off she goes. Of course, I never hear from her again, you know. I just thought, what a jerk. But it was the best one because I get those scams round there quite a lot. Last time I gave
Stockwell. Both Adam and I live in the Stockwell area. They do that a lot in Stockwell.
That can't be peculiar.
What about fundraising ones? Have you had one of those?
Yeah, but I checked the guy out and his credentials checked out.
Because there's a guy who came round to get me this. Hello, I'm just doing a fun run. The kids are doing a fun run. The kids are having a fun run. I'm collecting money for the fun run. Like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the school around the corner. St. Peter's fun run. And I was like, oh, well, you can't not give money to the kids. But and then you look closely and his hand was trembling.
And he couldn't look you in the
incredibly
eye.
Incredibly quick, yeah. And he had "I want crack" written in huge letters on his face.
That's usually a giveaway.
Yeah. So it's the details that give it away, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a guy, I'm pretty sure he's legitimate. He's got like a little card, and I wrote down a number that he said, and I rang up the place, and it was just a recorded message, but it was a voice that wasn't him saying, "Hello, you've come through to the local community." Yeah.
So was that part of the scam?
Well, I don't think...
He'd set up like an answering machine.
If you start thinking like that, then you're in like the game, you know, that David Fincher film.
Yeah, but imagine the money you'd make.
I suppose so,
We make more money than we make from this show.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. If beggars show a bit of initiative, like, they don't need to show very much. Mm. All you need to do is go one step above just sitting on the street and writing something on a bit of cardboard.
Yeah, but you're paying her for the effort she put into the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, you gave that woman a quid.
Quid, yeah.
That was worth a quid. That's like a novella or an article, isn't it?
Yeah. But it was a shame, though, because I thought, she seems like a nice person. And then she stabs me right in the face and doesn't give me the money. What's that?
She stabbed you in the face.
Yeah, metaphorically.
Can we play my free play?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, we played a track by this group last week, listeners. They're called North of Ping Pong. They're my new favourite band, and this is another one off their EP. What's this one called, Xanthi? My Rebox. Yeah, I've censored it a little bit. It's a little bit rude. But this is very good. Listen to this. Ping pong, they're
out the box. There you go. That's North of Ping Pong.
Yeah, I think you can get that their EP at places like Rough Trade. It's quite hard to get hold of. But it's around, it's rare, which means it's very cool. And, yeah, they're brilliant.
They've got a good website as well. You can check that out, and that's got all their stuff on it and details. They're playing tonight, in fact, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Up in Kingsland Road somewhere. Check out the website. Details are on there. Incidentally, speaking of gigs and stuff, I'm doing a gig next Friday night, Friday the 29th of September, which is coincidentally when that excellent Stiff documentary is being repeated on BBC Four. So tape the documentary and come out and see me at Madame Jojo's. I'll be doing a bit of character comedy, Joe.
Isn't that a drag club? Are you going to be dressing as a lady?
It might be a complicated way of getting me to go and dress as a lady. I don't know.
Right.
But I think it's a comedy night, and I'm going to do a couple of short little bits there.
It's not a drag club at all.
It's
a proper club. It does all kinds of different nights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
£10 entry, but if you mention this XFM show, or indeed my blog,
you pay twice the amount.
You pay five times the amount.
Really?
And you get a smack in the face.
Told you to grow up.
You'll get in for less, for about £7, I think. Anyway, so that's Friday, 29th of September, next Friday at Madame Jojo's. Come along. It'll be a fun night. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. XFM. That's the Kooks with Ooh La. And that's a radio edit of Ooh La.
Yeah, thanks for your response, listeners, to our sort of rather badly thought out text competition.
I thought we were even going to ignore it. We were just going to move on and pretend it never happened.
Well, I was about to say that. We're running out of time and it wasn't very good, and it's just ended up with me insulting my girlfriend slightly on the radio. So, you know, we're just going to move on, I think.
Yeah, move on, pretend it never happened.
Yeah. We'll do a good one next week.
Don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week. Yeah, that's going to be our last show next week.
Our last show before our Christmas break.
Christmas break.
Yeah, Christmas has started already, don't you know?
October is when Christmas generally starts, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, now it started.
In September.
Yeah, in fact, next week I'm going to play some Christmas records.
That's a good idea. Let's have a Christmas special.
We're
going to
have
week.
A Christmas. Just going to get Christmas over early.
Yeah.
And then we just go on holiday over Christmas.
Hey, you know what we should do, though, is we should do our Christmas Eve special. Because we always do Christmas Eve.
Oh, what, for XFM?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they'll have us.
That would be nice, I think.
They might not have us.
From our shack in Leicester Square. That's where we do the Christmas Eve show. That'll be nice. And then...
what are you doing? Adam's just staring at a CD.
I was just testing you to see what you would do if I stopped speaking.
Well, I've got somebody we can talk about. but I was being polite.
Okay.
Now, what on Thursday night, me and Adam were down at the NFT. We hosted a night for the COI. What does COI stand for?
Central Office of Information.
There you go. And they're the people responsible for, since 1946, making public information films like the Green Cross Code Man films, Charlie Says, all the Think Before You Drink Before You Drive, all those kind of...
Protect and Survive.
Yeah, kind of slightly propagandary, but also, you know, helping civilians of Britain stay alive. And there were lots of special guests down there. Dave Prowse turned up. He played Darth Vader and also the Green Cross Code Man.
Yeah.
Incredible guy. Jimmy Savile turned up.
Sir Jimmel
turned up. In his full golden tracksuit regalia.
Now then.
With all his Mr. T stuff on.
That's my
so
Jimmel
I was genuinely excited about meeting Sir Jimmel.
Yeah.
Weren't you, Adam?
Oh, no, absolutely. A little bit intimidated because I'd seen him on like the definitive Sir Jimmel.
Yeah, Louis Theroux's documentary.
Yeah. You know, I'd seen him on there, and he's quite a
tough customer.
Scary character in a way, yeah.
Scary, do you think?
A little bit,
He just knows his own mind.
Right.
Yeah, you think he might be cuddly. There was nothing that scary about him. The only thing that emerged from that documentary was that when people tried to sell drugs in one of Sir Jimmel's nightclubs, Sir Jimmel might pop them down the basement and knock them about a bit.
I don't know if he knocked them about, but he chained them to the pipes
verbally,
or something.
Verbally.
Right. Yeah.
Tied them up verbally. What he actually said in the documentary was... He tied them up, but then he later in an interview said he meant verbally. He tied them up with riddles and words.
He confused them.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was very nice, but when I first saw him, I went, there was like a green room, and there he was, Sir Jimmel, lounging in a chair with a cigar. And so I thought, I got to go and talk to him. So I went over and talked to him and said, hello, my name's Joe. I'm one of the people hosting the session. And he just looked at me and went, how does Jimmel talk to your Jimmel impression?
You told me what he said. He said, I'm Robert De Niro, the famous Hollywood actor.
I said, oh, all right, Jimmel, are you? That's interesting. And he basically just started coming at me with crazy tangential jokes.
Yeah.
I said, are you coming through to the auditorium? He said, only if I'm told. What do you say to that? I said, oh, well, yes, I need 4 white stallions and a beautiful lady to tow me.
Now then.
Oh, dear, it was very odd. So I was a bit worried. I thought he'd gone Fruit Loopy.
Yeah, we were saying just before the thing started, maybe we shouldn't talk to Sir Jimmel.
Maybe Jimmel's gone mad.
Because it's just going to go all
wrong. Because let's face it, he dresses like a lunatic.
He's a lovable lunatic.
He is. He's an eccentric.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you're eccentric and you get into your senior years, the eccentricity can take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the normality can vanish. But you know, at the end of the day, when we talked to him during the session, he was amazingly lucid. And he told a brilliant anecdote.
He was 100%
professional. And he was fantastic. And it also made me think, where have the people like Jimmy gone? I mean, obviously Jimmel's there, but where are the Jimmels of the future?
Jimmy Carr.
Where are those classic, do you think?
Jimmy Carr.
But like, Jimmy, he's a fundraiser.
Mm.
He's a sportsman.
Yeah.
He's a DJ.
Like Jimmy Carr.
He's so just talented. His talent is being amazingly altruistic.
Like Jimmy
Do you know
Carr.
What I mean?
Like Jimmy Carr and Justin
think?
Lee Collins.
Dave Prowse was there. Dave Prowse, an amazing sportsman, actor.
Well,
where are the people who are like, they're like superheroes,
Williams.
Those 70s people.
David Walliams.
Well, we were discussing this afterwards. I said this to Adam and he came with the comeback. David Walliams.
He's like a man, an all-rounder for
because
the
Because he's become
noughties.
A sporting hero.
He's a sporting hero. He's got a generous spirit. He's a
like
character.
Like Roy Castle was another one.
Yeah.
Someone with amazing sporting prowess and also a terrific entertainer.
Yeah. Walliams is a terrific entertainer. He's good for tabloid fodder. He's got a colourful private life.
But Walliams has got too... He's too talented a comedian. I think you've got to just be a presenter and a sportsman.
More of a Jonathan Ross type person.
Yeah. See, Jonathan needs to do more sport.
He does a lot of tennis. He plays tennis with Ricky Gervais, doesn't he?
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Where are those amazing 70s heroes now?
Mm.
What's happened to all the heroes?
Which other ones are you thinking of?
Just the two of them. Dave Prowse and Jimmel. And maybe Roy Castle.
Well, unfortunately, Roy Castle's
I
dead.
I tell you who, Ian Wright.
Ian Wright, right.
Yeah. He's the Jimmy Savile of the future. Right?
Yeah. I still think it's Walliams, personally. Now, listeners, if you're a fan of the podcasts, I should say as well, sorry, but again, we missed our Friday night slot, but who's counting, okay? They're coming out around about once a week, and the next podcast will be out on Monday morning or Monday afternoon, okay? So apologies for being late on that one. Don't forget, if you want to come along to this gig on the 29th of September, that's next Friday night, that's at Madame Jojo's. You can check out my blog for details, adam-buxton.co.uk. It's all up there. But that's it for us this week. Thank you very much indeed for listening, for calling in if you did and stuff like that.
Yeah, next week's our final show before our Christmas break, so we'll try and make it a bit special. And we may even be previewing our finished version of Robbie Williams's Rude Box.
Yeah, we're going to go back into the studio and really... Mm. Although I just read in the paper that Robbie Williams is suffering from depression.
It's not our fault, man.
Is it not?
Nah.
Because we're not being horrible. It's just like a tribute to
it's
Rude
an
Box.
Homage. Did it chart? Has Rude Box charted?
It's riding high in the charts.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's done very well. But, I don't think Robbie is aware of our existence, but I'd hate to think that we'd contributed.
No, we cheer him up.
Okay, good. Now, here's one final free play for you folks this afternoon. This is Chris Montez with a track called The More I See You. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye. Love you. Bye.